Welcome to the Holmesville Church of the Brethren. This is the Sunday worship service for October 10th, 2021. Join us in our call to worship. How long do we wait for bad times to be over? Why can't we just have good times for a change? Lord, let us have kindness. Give us good times. We've seen too much evil. If only we had peace. Surprise us, and we will be joyful. We would love to be taught how to live well. Your loveliness shapes us. We want what we do to be appreciated. Your love affirms how we work in the world. We love to share our peace and goodwill to all. Let us clothe ourselves with compassion, love, and peace, that we may live and work for the glory of God and our neighbor's good. Let us pray. O God, we do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to you, and if we die, we dwell with you. Strengthen us for that life with your word, the bread of life. Create in us responsive hearts. Do not let your word be silenced by rejection or indifference. Work through all who spread the gospel, confirming the truth of their message. Help us to display the reality of your resurrection by our way of living. In Jesus' name, amen. Our psalm today is Psalm 90. This is verses 12 through 17 from the Message. Oh, teach us to live well. Teach us to live wisely and well. Come back, God. How long do we have to wait? And treat your servants with kindness for a change. Surprise us with love at daybreak, then we'll skip and dance all the day long. Make up for the bad times with some good times. We've seen enough evil to last a lifetime. Let your servants see what you're best at, the ways you rule and bless your children. And let the loveliness of our Lord our God rest on us, confirming the work that we do. Oh yes, affirm the work that we do. Our prayer is number 804 in the blue hymnal. God of all creation, provider of every good thing, you reveal yourself to us as creator and sustainer of the world. You offer us the world for our pleasure and care. We offer our labor to you to sustain the goodness of your creation. Hear our prayer for those who invest, risk, and employ. Use their ingenuity for the common good. Hear our prayer for those who build, repair, and produce. Make them competent as they practice their skill. Hear our prayer for those who create, teach, and heal. Grant them understanding and compassion. Hear our prayer for those who tend, love, and care. Give them open hearts and generous spirits. Hear our prayer for those who have completed their labors or for those who cannot work. Grant them peace and purpose in living. Maker of heaven and earth, pour your creating power through all we do. Make us fruitful laborers in your vineyard through Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading today is from Mark 10, 17 through 31. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. He said to him, Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. They were greatly astounded and said to one another, Then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible. Peter began to say to him, Look, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Here is one of those Bible passages that people want to skip over, or rephrase until it has no meaning, or try to reinterpret until it bears no resemblance to anything Jesus taught. I have heard people say that in this passage Jesus was speaking in metaphors, so we are to take what Jesus said as simply a figure of speech. I have also heard it said that Jesus was talking just to this one individual, and that this passage, therefore, has no generalized meaning. No meaning for us, that is. I have even heard it preached that Jesus was preaching nothing more than a general humility. That camel going through the needle's eye? Some pastors have told the story that there was an actual gate called the Needle's Eye, and that a camel would have to be unloaded and crawl through that gate in order to get in. Except that any real investigation shows that there was no such gate, and Jesus pretty much means what he says in Mark's Gospel. Those metaphors belong to John. And if this story has no meaning for us, for anyone other than that one particular rich young ruler, why is it recorded? Why would Mark bother writing down that which means nothing? But what if we take it seriously? What if Jesus really meant what he said? What then? This rich young ruler was a good man. He was a man who followed the commandments. But he knew there was something missing, so he sought out Jesus. Jesus was just setting out to go on a journey, and the man ran up and fell to his knees before Jesus. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You see, this young man felt that something was not quite right, and he went straight to the one he felt might hold the answer. And Jesus gives him first the answer that a good Jewish man might expect, follow the commandments. He knows that this young man knows the commandments, and the young man affirms that, yes, he has followed all of those commandments all his life. Then Jesus looks at him and loves him. Jesus sees through to the source of his heart sickness. Jesus knows that something has hold of this man with a grip that won't let him go. And Jesus cuts right through to the heart of the matter. You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. And the possessions possessed him. Now, it might be easy for us to shrug this story off and say, as so many have before us, that Jesus isn't talking to us. We're not rich. Our possessions don't possess us. We are average people. And besides, we know, because we have heard so many sermons, that there is nothing we can do to merit salvation. Salvation is through God's grace alone. That grace is so unfathomable, we can't even understand it. And besides, Jesus puts the nail in it when he says, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible. Saved by grace, not by works." But what if this story is not just a story about an altar call, but in fact is a healing story? Did you ever notice in Mark's gospel that the people who come up to Jesus and kneel before him are asking for a healing? Every time, whether it is for demon possession or some dread disease like leprosy. And notice also that when Jesus tells someone to go, as he does this man, it is in relation to a healing. So what if this man isn't just pious, but sick, heart sick? And deep down he knows that all his abundance and all his piety isn't a cure. He's still missing something, something important, something that matters, something that's a matter of life and death. And when Jesus looks at him, Jesus can see that all this man's wealth, all this man's knowledge of the law, all this man's piety has so distorted his idea of himself and his God and his neighbor that he is really sick at heart. And Jesus, loving him, sees through it all. Jesus tells him to divest so he can live by faith in God and in solidarity with his neighbor for the first time in his life, which is, when you think of it, treasure in heaven. If this is true, if this is what happened, then what is God saying to us through this story? Jesus loves us, each one of us, so deeply. What if Jesus is looking at us right now with those eyes of love and seeing what we can't see about ourselves, that there is a heart sickness deep within each of us? And Jesus wants us to be healed. And Jesus is asking us to give up something or to give away something or to go somewhere, because Jesus knows that only in that way can we be healed. Jesus cares not only about our eternal destiny, but about the quality of the lives we live for him. Will we allow God's wonderful gift of salvation to free us from whatever is holding us back? Can we allow ourselves to be freed to do what God desires? To love one another, to care for God's people and God's world, and to share the good news right now where God is calling us? Or will we ignore that call and hold on to what is dragging us down and holding us back? Of course, following Jesus' call is scary. It is far easier to hold on to what we have because what we have is safe. It is comfortable. It gives us a sense of security. And we walk away sorrowfully because we know that Jesus wants more and we are not willing to give it. We are not willing to exchange this safe, known life for for the greater, more abundant life God wants for us. And that is tragic. What is Jesus asking of you right now? What is Jesus asking of us as a congregation? We have spent some time in what we have called discernment, trying to find answers to those questions. Have we not found answers, or are those answers simply not what we want to hear? Jesus calls us. Jesus names whatever idol we have made for ourselves, and Jesus asks us to throw it away, to give it up, for the sake of our neighbor and ourselves. When we hear that voice, we have a choice. We can stay in our old life, our life marred by whatever addiction we have embraced, or we can turn to the one who binds only to set free, who wounds only to heal, who kills only to make alive again. We can turn to the one who is the truth, who tells our hearts the truth. With humans, it is impossible, but with God, all things, then and now, are possible. Let us pray. O God, we know you love us too much to let us stay as we are. We know you have a greater call on our lives. Help us to trust you enough to let go of whatever holds us back in order to gain the more abundant life you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Receive the benediction. With God, all things are possible. May we trust your word with the confidence it takes to let go of the idols that hold us back, as we walk in Christ's footsteps, guided by God's hand. Amen.